Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Word on the streets today is there's a really important game in town this weekend.
Oh, I'm so excited.
At 5:30 in the evening on Sunday?
Could you be referencing the annual Arrowhead Invitational?
I believe I am.
Okay.
I believe I am. The Chiefs and the Bills, 5:30 Sunday evening, Arrowhead Stadium. And the winner goes to the Super Bowl. Let's bring in Bob Fesco from 96.5 The Fan. He joins us on the KMBZ hotline. Hello, Bob.
Hey, can you close the window? It sounds like there's a breeze blowing through there.
I love you, Bob Fesco.
You got the Kim Crawford going early today.
The Kim Croft? Yes, I do, Bob. Why, yes, I do. I'm wearing my right jersey, and by right, I don't mean Matthew. I mean Dana.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah,
at first you said Reich jersey. I was like, you have a Frank Reich Buffalo Bills jersey?
No, she has a customized number one Dana Wright Chiefs jersey.
Then why wouldn't you?
No, I tried to get Matthews and then, well, you know, we won't talk about that. So let's look up to this upcoming game. Like, what are people saying? What are you saying? Ooh, I'm nervous. I don't know why. I'm more nervous for this game than I was for, I think, any of the other ones.
Well, I think there's a couple of different things to say there. I'm not nervous. I'm just ready, you know, because they're going to win the game. I mean, that's obvious. So I'm not nervous about the game. I'm ready for the game. But you're probably more nervous because this is the most significant game we've ever seen played in Kansas City. It's the most important game that's ever been played in Arrowhead Stadium. It's the biggest game that's ever been played in Arrowhead Stadium because what's at stake on Sunday, right? We're talking about a three-peat. We're talking about something that nobody in the history of this National Football League that's been around 105 years has ever done before. And that's why I think you're probably more nervous for this because we're looking at something that is so rare, so hard to accomplish, never been accomplished before. And if they don't accomplish it, then you're setting yourself back to zero because you can't three-peat next year if you didn't get the job done this year.
Right.
So there's so much on the line for the Chiefs, and I think it's such a bigger game for them than it is even for Buffalo because of what's at stake.
The Chiefs are going to their seventh consecutive AFC championship. The only other team with more conference championship appearances is eight, and that is the Patriots.
Yeah, they're the team that we're chasing in a lot of different categories, but I'll take you one step further. Andy Reid has been a coach in the NFL for 26 years, and in 12 of those 26 years, he's coached in a conference championship game. Now, I'm not a math guy because I went to KU, but that's about almost 50% of the years.
It's 45%.
45% of the years that he's coached in the NFL, he's coached all the way to the championship game. And in Kansas City, he's been the coach 12 years, and he's been to the championship game 7 years. I mean, it when you say it out loud like that, it sounds like you're making it up because it's unbelievably unbelievable. And, you know, Andy Reid has just done an unbelievable job since he's come in here to Kansas City and took over a 2-14 team, turned him around immediately, and it's been, you know, been off and running ever since.
That's a great stat. 60% of the time that he's been in Kansas City, they have gone to the conference championship.
Yeah, 60% of the time it works every time.
Okay, but Bob,
that doesn't make any sense.
I don't want to jinx it, but we have to talk about the Bills because every time Josh Allen tries to do this, he doesn't do it. He either comes up a lot short or 13 seconds short. So of all of the teams for us to be playing, I almost wish it was any other team but this one.
Well, I love this game, and I love this rivalry because it's a respected rivalry, right? Like, Bills fans and Chiefs fans genuinely like each other, respect each other, will congratulate each other after the game. And they are the two best teams in the NFL. I mean, I don't care who wins in the NFC. These are the two best teams. It's the two best quarterbacks, two of the best coaches, you know, in the NFL going head-to-head and toe-to-toe. And if Josh Allen wants to get to that level or sniff around that level that Patrick Mahomes is at, he's eventually got to beat Patrick Mahomes. And if this is an opportunity for him to do so, but for whatever reason in the postseason, it just hasn't worked for him and the team. And some of that's been on coaching. Some of that's been on the 13-second type of stuff. Kicker missing a kick last year. But the quarterback gets all the credit and all the blame. And so eventually, if he's going to be in that same category as Patrick Mahomes, he's going to have to beat Patrick Mahomes.
Well Bob, nobody in this town is going to disagree with you that the two quarterbacks on the field this Sunday are two of the best in the league. But only one of them is on the MVP list this season, and it's not Patrick Mahomes.
No, it's not, and it's ridiculous because Josh Allen is a middle-of-the-pack quarterback when you start to look at stats. I mean, people always want to look at stats and, you know, make it work for them. Josh Allen was like seventh in yards this year in passing and all that kind of stuff. And in games he started, the Bills went 13-4. In games that Patrick Mahomes started, the Chiefs went 15-1. And, you know, Andy Reid should be coach of the year every year, and Patrick Mahomes should be MVP every year because they truly are the greatest at what they do year in and year out. I mean, Patrick Mahomes continues to reinvent himself. They got rid of Tyreek Hill. They won two straight Super Bowls. Last year, they had no wide receivers to speak of. I think Mitch Holthus told us this morning, when this game kicks off on Sunday, there will be one wide receiver on each side of the field that was on the field last year when these two teams played in Buffalo. So you've had a revamping of the wide receiver position. The offensive line hasn't been there all year for them. You lost your star running back in week two. You lost your number one wide receiver in week three. You lost your big free agent wide receiver in preseason game one. I mean, and they still went 15-1, and you're telling me Patrick Mahomes isn't considered the MVP of the National Football League? I think people just get bored with giving it to Patrick Mahomes, and I do think America is bored with the Chiefs, but I'm not, and I don't really care what America thinks.
Now, their season record was 15-2. Let's remove the Denver game because that was Denver with all their starters against the Chiefs and their second string.
Right.
That only remaining loss on the 15-1 was to the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, and I take nothing from that game, Scott, because those two teams knew they were going to be playing each other again in a couple of months when it mattered, and that's where the beauty of Andy Reid comes in. I ain't showing these guys anything. Steve Spagnuolo, I'm not going to show these guys anything. We'll just go out there and play a basic game and see what happens. And if we lose, so what? It's a regular season game. It really doesn't matter, right? This week, it's going to be a lot different. You're going to see things that you didn't see before. You're going to see everybody playing at a higher level. It's win or go home type of attitude. And Andy Reid in these type of situations and Patrick Mahomes in these type of situations, for the most part, have been unbeatable. And so they're going to be doing stuff on Saturday or Sunday that we didn't see in that first game against Buffalo. Do you know how many guys are playing on both sides in that game? I think there's like 8 or 9 guys combined that are playing in this game Sunday that were hurt for that game back in, what was it, week 11. We get Charles Omenihu back. Hollywood Brown's back into the lineup now. You've got Isaiah Pacheco back in the lineup from an offensive standpoint, you know, for the Chiefs. And so you've got a lot of big-time playmakers that didn't play in that first matchup that are back on Sunday.
I watched a lot of ESPN this morning, Bob, in a way that I normally do not. And some of the commentators have addressed the hate for this team. Some of them have not. I still am just dumbfounded at the vitriol we are seeing from other cities and other teams, but also just the false information about us getting more of the calls. You know, if you look at the statistics, it doesn't bear out that we are somehow favored by the referees. Now, does the NFL have an interest in the three-peat and maybe some extra eyeballs that would bring? They probably do. But sure. Have you ever seen anything being on this side of the coin like we are seeing from the opposing fans?
Are you telling me when you present facts now that people don't want to believe?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, Bob.
I can't believe that's happening. Why let facts get in the way of a good argument, right? And that's what's happening right now. Everybody thinks that the Chiefs are going to get all these beneficial calls from the referees, when in fact it was Josh Allen who had more roughing the passer calls called on him this year than Patrick Mahomes did. When it was in fact Josh Allen, I believe a week ago, 2 weeks ago, maybe, was sitting on the bench and the referee went there and talked to Josh Allen on the bench. You never see that kind of stuff happen before. And when you look at the number of penalties that the Chiefs have, you know, been called for or called against, or however you want to you phrase it, they're middle of the pack. They're not getting any more calls than anybody else. This is a league that protects the quarterbacks, and they're going to protect the star quarterbacks more than anybody else, as they should, because who wants to watch a game with Carson Wentz taking on the backup quarterback for the Buffalo Bills? Nobody wants that. Nobody wants to see that. Nobody wants to watch the backup for Baltimore play instead of Lamar Jackson. We want to watch our star players. We've got to protect those quarterbacks, and I think the league is trying to do that. These defensive players know the rules. You got to follow the rules. It's like going 50 and a 35 and saying, it's not my fault the cop pulled me over. No, it is. You're not doing what you were supposed to do.
But it promises to be a great rivalry in 8 head-to-head matchups, including playoffs. Patrick Mahomes, 4 wins. Josh Allen, 4 wins.
I know. It's so evenly matched. The difference is Mahomes' wins come in the playoffs and Josh Allen's come during the regular season. And so I think that's the most unbelievable stat in all of it. Buffalo wins these regular season games, but when it comes to the playoffs, it's the Kansas City Chiefs and it's Patrick Mahomes. And I know the Buffalo fan base, when we talked to them before the regular season game, they're like, "Nah, we don't care. It's the regular season. We know we're going to win this one, and you guys will probably win the playoff game." And so that's the one that matters. Patrick Mahomes is undefeated against Josh Allen in the postseason. Let's go for 4 in a row.
What is the big concern, if there was a big concern, to watch out for this weekend in this matchup?
Well, I think it's got to always be that left tackle spot. You know, that's kind of been kind of the sore spot all year. But I thought Joe Tooney's done a nice job of playing that left tackle spot. And it's not something that you really have to worry about. There's no injuries. Everybody's playing this week. And so the only thing that I worry about is if they're able to neutralize Travis Kelce. But I don't think they are, because I think he's just going to have another one of those big days. You know, he's got 14 games now with 70 or more yards receiving in the postseason consecutively. I think he goes for a 15th. I think he gets close to Jerry Rice's record. He's only 225 receiving yards and 2 receiving touchdowns behind Jerry Rice for the most prolific receiver in postseason history. Hopefully he gets that, you know, not maybe this week, but next week in New Orleans, and becomes the most prolific receiver that's ever played in the postseason in the NFL. But you know, I don't know really what the big concerns are that I have. I think the Chiefs are very, 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 very healthy and very smart and ready to go for this football game. And just talking to some people out at Arrowhead, they said it was a great week of practice. They could have asked for anything better, and it's go time now.
I know it's very cliche. Last one, Bob. What do you predict?
35-0 Kansas City.
No way.
Oh, come on,
Bob. Be serious.
For every game.
What?
Every game for the last 5 years, I've predicted 35-0. You know how many of them have come true?
None.
None, not one. No, not none. None. No.
That's great.
But I'm still going with it.
I love you, Bob.
I have Buffalo getting an early field goal, but playing so poorly the rest of the way that Roger Goodell takes the 3 points off the board and the Chiefs win 35.
Okay. I love you, man.
Get out of here. Someone else has been in the Kim Croft.
Bob Pesco from 96.5 The Fan. 5:00 we have Festivus Friday coming your way at 5:00 this afternoon, the airing of the grievances. It is brought to you by Q39. Get your Q fix today at Q39KC.com.
After that fantastic prediction from Bob Fesco, can we all just collectively knock on wood really quick?
I would agree.
Okay, thank
Very
you.
Very nice.
Okay, I feel better.
Story here from CNN. Spirit Airlines is making some changes to its passengers' dress code policy.
Cover it up, people.
The budget carrier has released an update to its contract of carriage, which guests agree to upon making a reservation with the airline. The updates specifically address lewd clothing and tattoos that will no longer be allowed on board. Spirit gives specific examples as see-through clothing and exposed private parts.
They also list off a number of those private parts, including the front, the back.
They list them specifically?
They do.
By
breasts,
parts?
Bottom, yeah. I believe it says buttocks.
When did we get to the point that we needed to tell people that your butt can't be hanging out on an airplane?
When we started letting our butt hang out on the airplane.
You can no longer wear obscene, offensive, or revealing clothing or body art. So if you have an exposed tattoo that, you know, is that of a naked woman, or maybe the F word.
See, okay, I was thinking like a Nazi. I was thinking it like a Nazi tattoo.
That would be offensive and obscene.
They did recently make news because there was a guy, I can't remember what the other words were, but it was one of those like anti-social club. You've seen that brand?
Okay.
And so the giant words on the back of the hoodie, the second word of the four words was the F word. And it wasn't bleeped out, just big old letters right there.
Can I ask a question? Why does anybody think putting on that item of clothing and wearing it in public is acceptable? For example,
yep.
About, I don't know, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I was sent a customized T-shirt in the mail to the radio station. And it read, liberal bitch.
Very funny.
It was very, very funny. Hats off to whoever created it. It was funny.
It was like a name tag.
We all laughed. Do you know how many times I wore that T-shirt in public?
Zero.
It's the score that Bob predicted the Bills are going to get on Sunday.
Zero.
Zero times.
Okay, but let me tell you.
You mean buttocks?
No pun intended. One of the last times I flew, there was probably a 25 to 30-year-old woman, a very curvy woman.
It's not the guys letting it all hang out.
As am
no, it's
I.
not.
She had a thin, like a shacket, just a very thin shirt jacket on.
Okay.
Exposed with gigantic, her gigantic full frontal in a 3x2 small bra exposed. And I am not a prude. I am all for women's body positivity. Like, but there's a time and place to let the girls out. And in the TSA line, I remember saying to MP, she's going to be flagged. She's going to be flagged, and this is going to be a whole huge deal, and it doesn't have to be a huge deal if she just closed her jacket. And it, Scott,
and,
it was...
And could she? Was the jacket big enough that she could?
In my opinion...
Well, she said she was curvy.
In my opinion, she was looking for someone. You would not do anything that provocative. She was
looking to elicit...
I said, this is a problem looking for a solution.
Well, and how many times have we seen the lawsuits over the last 2 years? It's upwards of 24 where there has been an online plus-size influencer, it's what they call themselves, who they go on a plane and they're told, hey, you can't let the girls out like that.
Yeah.
And then they raise a stink and file a lawsuit.
It has nothing to do with your weight or your body shape. I just cover them up on the plane. So I wouldn't want to sit next to that either.
The story goes on to say the new policy comes after two women were kicked off a Spirit flight for wearing crop tops. Let me address a text that just came in, if I could. This is from 3523. Freedom of speech. Let me address that.
That does not give you the right to go naked on an airplane.
You do, 3523, you do have freedom of speech from the government. If you read the Constitution, the government shall impose no law on your freedom of speech. A private company, which Spirit Airlines is, can tell you exactly what you can and cannot wear on their flights. If they don't want you wearing a sweatshirt with the F word on the back, they are well within their rights to tell you to get off the plane.
Think about no shirt, no shoes, no service.
That's right.
A business has the right to say you
can't. Exactly,
it's not your free speech to come in here with your stinky feet exposed.
Correct. And so freedom of speech is the most misunderstood right in the entire Constitution.
Correct.
It does not defend your right to wear lingerie onto an airplane.
That is correct. I cannot walk into my boss's office and tell him to go blank himself. And then when he fires me, I go, freedom of speech.
you can.
Once.
I don't know. I just feel like...
I say good on Spirit Airlines.
I didn't crack down.
We have lost somehow along the way. We have lost some decorum. We really have lost some decorum.
Either that or more and more people clearly were not hugged by their mom enough and they need attention.
Yeah.
They want to, you mentioned this earlier, Dan, it's a great point. The woman that you were talking about with what's called a shacket.
She was out there.
And her bra is exposed, apparently, and it was too small.
Didn't need an imagination to see that one.
Right. She was trying to be a provocateur. She was trying to elicit a response. She wanted the attention. Dare I say, she maybe even wanted to be kicked off the flight.
That's what I said. You are asking at that point to be removed from the flight.
Yep.
And then that's embarrassing for you. The TSA agent certainly doesn't want to pull you aside, trust me, and say, look, sister, you can't.
You got to button up.
You got to button it up.
Yeah. 913-586-7798. 586-7798. Here on Dana and Parks. Dare if I disagree just a little bit with this texter, 4696. You're right. We have lost decorum. I don't necessarily agree with that. But the texter goes on to say, look at the pro football coaches on the sideline now versus 20 years ago. Today's head coach often wears athletic wear that you wouldn't wear to a restaurant, and yet they're classing it up. Players are the same. I'm going to disagree with you there. I think you're, instead of 20 years ago, you really mean 40 years ago, and you're thinking of Tom Yes. Landry with his fedora and his suit. And now, in the NFL, by the way, the reason that the coaches wear a lot of athletic gear, and Bill Belichick was the worst. He looked like a 17-year-old bum.
The short-sleeve hoodie.
Yeah, the short-sleeve hoodie.
Because the athletic contracts with the companies.
That's exactly right. And years ago, and by years ago, I mean like 3 or 4 years ago, there was a coach in the NFL who wanted to wear a suit on the sideline. He had to petition the NFL for permission, and they said no.
I will also remind you that Bobby Knight wore sweaters and threw chairs.
And I would also remind you, players show up. Now, Joe Burrow is the exception. Most players show up looking very classy when they walk through. Now, Joe Burrow looks like Hamburglar.
We have upped the fashion game. The Chiefs have upped the fashion game.
Yes, but Joe Burrow, I'm not kidding, Sam. He looked like the damn Hamburglar
when
he was walking through the tunnel in Kansas City.
By the way, did you see Justin Reed had a baby girl?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Congratulations, Justin.
Now, I'm not suggesting that we need to go back to the days of wearing suits on an airplane.
Absolutely not.
But there does need to be a line, and a hard line, for how much we're... Because if I were to throw on a crop top and some booty shorts, first of all, I never would, but I would hope that they would kick me off that plane because I don't want other people to have to look at that.
Tell me if this is appropriate. When I go to Cancun, which I do every year, and even last year went twice, I will wear closed-toed shoes on the flight because flip-flops are not acceptable. I will wear shorts, and I will wear, depending on the weather in Kansas City, a t-shirt or a t-shirt and a sweatshirt. But I am fully covered.
I think that's totally fair.
Yeah. I'm not wearing a suit on a flight. I mean, because you got to remember, back in the 50s, when everybody was wearing suits on flights, there was a lot of room in those seats. Americans were thinner as well. I'm not going to get into a suit and be like this in the seat.
No, I wouldn't do it either.
Jim in Eastern Shawnee. Jim, hello.
Hi. I know I don't want to sound like a prude. Because I'm not when I'm out hanging out with the guys, but
hey, Jim, don't say the entire name of the bar because I see what you're going to say, and we're familiar with the name, and you can't say the name.
Your screener already warned me. He said it was a shirt that said Richards halfway in.
Yep.
And I was at the concession stand, and my daughter, I was at the Royals game with three kids, little ones, you know, 10 and less, and I said something to her because my daughter had asked me about the shirt. And I said, you know, I had explained your shirt to my daughter, and she laughed about it. And I said, well, it wasn't as funny to me. And she goes, she got mad, obviously. And she went down and she told her husband. He was sitting there with 30 or 40 rows in front of us. And he turned around and looked up at me sitting there with my kids. And I know what he did. He turned back to her and said, yeah, maybe you shouldn't have worn that shirt. But I don't mind crude at a party or hanging out at the bar or whatever, but I think it's don't wear it to the Royals game.
I don't disagree, Jim.
Nor do I.
I see that brand a lot down in the Ozarks where it belongs at the lake.
We're familiar.
Yep.
And at the lake, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, there is a gas station in the South that is now changing its name. You know what I'm referring to. Blank and Go. And strangely, run by a very evangelical man. And it starts with a K and go. And They sell those t-shirts out all the time.
Which, by the way, that gas station brand is soon to be no more. They were bought out.
Yeah, they're changing their name because they were bought out by
somebody. Officially changing the name. I believe it's going to be Maverick now.
I believe that's right.
But is it true? Because I feel like it's Friday and we need to just all be like in a better mood.
You should feel like it's Friday because it is. Right.
Is it true that today is Gigantic Belly Laugh Day?
It is National Synchronized Belly Laugh Day.
It's global. Okay.
Excuse
not
me,
national.
Global.
But
my apologies.
How does one synchronize a belly laugh? For all of us to do that collectively, and I feel like we should, there has to be something that we find collectively funny for the collective belly laugh.
Maybe a Jim Gaffigan skit or a skit?
It's going to have to be organic.
I think it would be funnier if we were to belly laugh synchronistically without something funny.
And then
out of
see
the blue.
If we could get everyone else to join
That's
in.
That's right.
Okay. It doesn't take me long.
Weren't we talking about terribly bad ideas on the show just yesterday?
What's wrong with belly laughing?
Yes, we were.
Okay.
You start, Scott.
You want me to fake belly laugh right now?
Just right now. Just let her rip. Hang on. Wait.
Terrible. Let me
you need some water?
You have to think of something funny.
It's Gatorade.
All right. You have to think of something funny. Okay. It is National Collective Belly Laugh Day.
I'm going to hurt my vocal cords, and this is not going to be good.
Here we go.
You ready?
Yeah. Okay. No, that sounds like the beginning of the Gorillaz Inc. song.
Wait,
that
synchronize. You're supposed to do it at the same
time. That was terrible, Sam.
That was actually pretty good.
No, that was terrible.
Give me your phone. Are we Facebook Live-ing this?
No, I'm taking video, though.
Let's hear yours.
Say something funny. I can't just laugh without something. People will come up to me and say, let me hear your laugh. You got to do something that makes me laugh.
Starting next week, technically on paper, Sam is your boss.
Okay, that is funny. I can't belly laugh that. Don't fire me.
That was
how
funny.
The tide has turned. You know, it's like me saying to you, say something funny. I don't know how we collectively do this on this national day, which, let's be honest, there's so many national days that we don't need. But I don't know how we do this without something truly funny happening.
I still like Scott's. It did remind me of a Feel
Sam.
Good Ink song.
It does sound like the beginning of that
by
song.
By the way, and it happens every year, and I see it on the list today, and we have participated in this day.
Mm-hmm.
Today is National Compliment Day.
Oh, this is going to be where we elicit the belly laugh.
Remember what Scott just said about next week.
Okay. Today.
Sam, no, I'm not kidding.
Is national.
Boss is off next week, and Sam is second in command at the radio station these days.
Yep.
And he is technically, and I heard Boss say it to him, you're the boss next week.
Did not have that
We're
on my bingo.
Fired.
Did not have that on my bingo card. I love National Compliment Day. Do we sing these to each other, or is it just. We are complimenting each other.
It says here, some scientific studies suggest giving a socially appropriate compliment that is not fake.
Okay.
Can boost performance at work.
Oh. All right, I've got one.
Make people less socially awkward.
I don't.
And increase their happiness.
Oh, no, it's socially awkward.
Just remember to be classy and keep your hands to yourself.
Okay. I have one too, but go ahead, Sam.
Dana, I love your passion and perseverance to find that chin hair that doesn't exist.
He meant it.
That was real. It's from the heart.
Okay. I'll start with you, Sam.
I knew it.
Because
nobody has any compliments.
Last year, I said, Sam, you're so tall. And I like it when you help me fix my computer, which was all true. But I will say, Sam, I am proud of you for leaning into your role as a leader at this company.
I don't.
I love the fact that you are in charge next week. And
I don't.
Think, and I said this to MP the other day. I think your star is going to rise.
I agree with that.
And you are going to end up in a great management role in the future and or on the radio. And I know your goal was always to be on the radio, but I think you are a natural born manager.
Thank you.
Some can
except managing me.
Some can do both. Some can do both.
Hey, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time.
Yes, you can manage anybody but Dana. So many have tried. They have all failed.
Dana.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we're not singing them.
No, I think
she
it's better.
Did.
It's better to sing it.
She sang it to you.
Go ahead.
Dana. I love how you have engaged in self-care. Exercising, mm-hmm. eating better, mm-hmm. going to bed earlier and
don't
baking,
forget drinking water.
Drinking flavored water because you can't stand the taste of real water. Dana, I think it has made you healthier, mm-hmm. and hopefully the show will go on longer. Until next week, when Sam is our boss and fires us.
It was beautiful. It was beautiful.
Thank you. Me. All right, Scott.
Thank you. Dana.
Compliment for Scott. Here we go.
This is going to be hard.
No, this is not going to be hard. You know, we rib each other a lot on the show, and I think sometimes it gets to be a lot easier to make fun of one another because we enjoy a good ribbing.
Yes.
But I can be serious and say, Scott Parks, I'm so proud of you for focusing on your mental health this year and finding a psychiatrist who will keep you for 7 years. Because I think it makes you happier to talk on a couch about what's going on in your head. That clouded, beautiful, foggy head.
That was a real belly laugh. That was a real belly laugh.
Do not stop talking to people about your problems. Because it makes the show better. And I love you like a brother I never wanted. Amen.
But you already have a brother. All right. We're
Scott,
done? Sam.
I am proud of
your... No, you
your...
have to sing it.
Oh. Scott, I am proud of your recent ability to get over the pain that your pinky toe brought you. After one solid day of limping around the office like a guy with a man flu, you began walking normally again, and for that, I applaud you.
Sam, I applaud you, my friend, for finding out earlier this week that you have horrible flatulence because you eat too much bread and your body can't handle it. And all of a sudden today, you came to me and said, there will be no more stinky farts in my studio because as of today, I have stopped eating gluten. Credit to Sarah Parks for finding this story for us in the stack. She came over for Pancake Friday this morning. We talked about it. Kim Jong-un has reportedly banned citizens in North Korea from wearing leather coats.
Okay.
Because they are copying his signature look. The style-conscious dictator, if he's that style-conscious, can we explain the haircut?
Wow.
Originally wore his black trench coat in 2019... and was wearing it last week when he appeared after returning following his longest absence in 7 years. He is not well. Kim's leather coat has since become iconic in the hermit country, where there is a cult of personality surrounding him and his fashion choices. Originally, it was only the country's elite who could emulate their leader because only they could afford to buy real leather coats. However, since then, North Korean garment makers began to import fake leather to make homegrown versions.
Okay.
And soon, almost every North Korean marketplace was selling the coats, and before long, many young men were strutting around in them. But for the regime, enough is enough. And the ban is now in place as part of a crackdown on Kim copycats. By the way, the police are patrolling the streets of North Korea to confiscate any jacket, leather jacket from sellers and any citizen wearing them.
You know, every time I read one of these stories, I feel a little more blessed.
Yeah.
We are the lucky ones.
Yeah.
We are.
I don't know who Mr. Beast is, but apparently everybody else in the country does.
He would be the top dog of top dogs when it comes to YouTube personalities. He also now has a number of shows on different broadcast networks doing what he does.
What does he do?
Well, his rise to fame, I actually couldn't describe it to you.
He's famous for doing nothing.
It like was meteoric.
A lot of the influencers.
He launched to the top in a record time And that allowed him to secure massive funding so that he could offer people like $100,000 to do something ridiculous. And so it's essentially like the game show of all game shows, except for he, you know, breaks all liability rules and just makes them do whatever he wants them to do with large sums of money sitting in front of them.
So YouTube and TikTok star Mr. Beast is looking to buy TikTok as part of a group of investors as time ticks down for the social media company to find a new owner or risk being banned in the United States. His real name is Jimmy Donaldson, and he appeared to make a joke on Twitter about buying TikTok earlier this month, but his lawyer says he was serious.
By the way, he was born. He's only 26 years old. His net worth is, I'm not even going to read it because it's going to make us feel bad about ourselves.
He's 26?
He was born in Wichita, Kansas.
Oh.
How much is he worth?
Let me pull it up
real quick. A lot of zeros, Scott. Seven or eight of them. I don't even want to know.
$500 million.
God.
And that was 3 years ago that he was estimated to have that net worth.
He is the single most popular YouTuber and third most popular TikToker.
Okay. Let's focus on something that has brought more light and more positivity to our listeners, both on social media and during this program. When we get back, I am so excited in the 3 o'clock hour. And if you're listening in the bonus hour on podcast, go find the second hour of the show today. Family members of the local couple who just celebrated their 81st wedding anniversary this week will join us on Dana and Parks. It is the most commented social post I've had in a while, Scott. People are looking for good news. And 81 years of marriage is, I'm not saying that there are not other couples who came close to that during wartime, back during World War II, when so many of our young men, you know, either feared they would be pulled into the war or lied about their age to go serve in the war, like all of those things. There might be a handful of couples that have made it that long. But one of them is right here in the Kansas City area.
The record is held by Herbert and Zelmyra Fisher.
Herbert.
Who were married for 86 years, 9 months, and 16 days. So they're close. They're 5 years away.
Our local couple, they are Richard and Mary. They're in their 90s. They met in 1942. And what a love story this is. I cannot wait to get their son on the phone with us.
They got married so young, they didn't even tell their parents. They just went home to their respective houses.
One of the best parts about the story, they hopped on a train, went to Topeka, got married by a justice of the peace, and didn't tell nobody for 3 months.
We'll visit with the family in just a moment. Don't forget, Festivus Friday coming your way right after 5 o'clock. It is brought to you by Q39. Here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.